Now let's go into today's teaching, and because I see a lot of people I've not seen before today, I will just take a few minutes. I want to just do a short review. Now, last Saturday, we began to teach on what we titled Training to Reign. Now, the reason being that before that, we talked about destined to reign. We explained that God has a purpose on the earth, and his purpose is that the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That is, God has planned to bless the whole earth by entrenching the principles, or let me use the word, by causing the kingdom of God to reign over all. Do you understand that? And now that's God's purpose for this earth. And he has said in Isaiah chapter 45, we read, reading into verse 46, in chapter 46, he said, I have sworn by myself, and the word has gone forth from my mouth, and will not turn back. What did I swear? I swore that to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance, that they will say of me that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. That is God's purpose. That is God's plan. He has proposed it, that is, to the ends of this earth. Anything called Islam, anything called Confucianism, anything called Buddhism, we failed. We saw it on this earth. Our communism failed. Now, let me just explain a principle to us here. That is, any ideology that wants to strengthen itself against God, this is what God does. He allows it to prosper for a while. When it has reached its peak, then it will crumble from below. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, communism flourished, covered a large majority of Europe. God allowed it to spread. Then one day, would anybody find an arrow at it? It crumbled from inside, that the name of the Lord might indeed be glorified. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That is God's plan. Now, having said that, we now began to explain that what the Lord does actually is to use his people. Like we were explaining earlier when we were doing our exhortation at the beginning, we said that God doesn't just cause things to rain from heaven, but that he walks through people, and that the advance of the kingdom of God on the earth is actually shown by the advance of his people that are on the earth. We read from the book of Revelation, we saw that what really happens is that the people that are called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will give their power and their authority to Jesus. That is how he becomes the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that is how he overcomes the beast, that is the devil. Now, having laid all this, this actually took us about 6 weeks to explain all of this, and that is six teaching sessions. And they are available on tape. The messages are available on MP3 CDs. Now, the advantage of MP3 CD is that one single MP3 CD will contain at least 12 messages. We have CDs that have about 20 messages, all right, which makes it easier to carry around. So all these things are available on tape, they are on audio CD, they are also available as MP3 discs. Now, so for those who are not around, please arrange to get the messages. Now, but last week, we now began to teach what I call training to reign. That is, if God destined for you to reign, and that is how Jesus will have his influence on this earth, then you have to get ready for what God wants you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? And last week, we laid a foundation in what I call take hold of the kingdom. And the principle there is very simple. The Bible says that the Lord is enthroned in the heavens. Maybe we should start by reading a few portions of the scriptures, which we read last week. I will explain them again and go into today's message. Open your Bibles to Psalm 103. It said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, my Bible here uses the word sovereignty, but the appropriate word, I believe, is his kingdom. That's verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, there was something we said that, now if you refer to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus made a statement. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Now, there's a principle there which we explained last time. And that is the fact that anywhere that the kingdom of God is found, it always rules over all. Do you understand my point? The illustration I used last time was that if you take a ball, that is normal rubber ball, filled with air normally, and you take it to the bottom of the ocean, as soon as you release it, it immediately shoots to the top. It doesn't say that I have hundreds of millions of gallons of water above me, so I can't come to the top, because it's on top that it's supposed to be. Do you get the point I'm making? That is the way God has ordained it. Everywhere that his kingdom is present, it will always be on top. You know, I realized, therefore, that what God is saying... Now, please listen to what I want to say carefully, which was what we introduced last time. Now, in the previous times, I've talked about what I call the power of grace. Grace actually is what God does for you while you are obeying simple instructions. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let me explain grace in the way I like to explain it. This is a very big building, very, very big. And at night, it can get dark. But the man who will put light in this whole building needs only one switch. Do you follow what I'm saying? He goes to the switch, drops the switch down, and the whole building becomes lighted. Now, he doesn't have the power of NEPA. He doesn't have the power in himself to generate electricity. But God may have commanded him that you shall keep that building lighted. And all he needs to do is not to go and start winding a dynamo and generating enough electricity. No. All he needs to do is to identify where the switch is, pull down the switch, and the building is lighted. And that is the power of grace. What am I saying? The purpose of God will prosper in our hands. As children of God, God needs us to have the kingdom of Jesus advance on this earth. But he's not saying, listen to this, he's not saying you have to struggle to bring it to pass. Do you follow what I'm saying? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his power working towards me did not prove vain, in that I labored more than them all, but not I. It was the grace of God working with me. What am I saying there? That is, you see a lot of things that Paul did. All of us call him the great apostle, the greatest apostle that possibly ever lived on the earth after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He did many things, carried the gospel to many places. Paul said, nevertheless, it was not I that was working. It was the power of God working on my behalf. At a point in time when his flesh became weak for many reasons, and he was praying for God to strengthen him back, Jesus said, you don't need the strength, but my grace is sufficient for you. And this is the definition of my grace. My power that is made perfect in your weakness. What does that mean? It means that when people will say you cannot do it, and they see the results that you get, then indeed my power is shown to have been demonstrated. You understand what I'm saying? That the people understand that it was not you, it was me that is working. Are you getting the point I'm making? Let me explain this in practical terms. One of the scriptures I read recently that really blessed my life, I read it from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. Maybe we should refer to it. Did I refer to it last time? When we were talking about Saul. When Samuel came to Saul, he told Saul something which is very, very instructive. Now, the context is not what I'm interested in, but that statement. He had told Saul that, why did you not do what God asked you to do? And Saul was saying a lot of things that were not correct, lying about he did what he was supposed to do. Then when Samuel now began to prophesy according to the word of God, he now said, listen to this. He said, is it not true that though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission? Let me stop there. That is, though a man is little, are you following what I'm saying? That God can make him into something beyond his imagination. Are you following me? Now listen, when David was dancing before the ark, and was stripping himself, and he was almost naked on the street, and Saul's daughter Micah came to him and said, why is my Lord disgracing himself like this? What did he tell her? He said that, see, I am not disgracing myself, but it is before God who made me king, though I was a shepherd. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That who took me from being a shepherd boy to becoming king in the place of your father. That's just to rub it in a little bit. All right? All right? He said, is that God that I am dancing before? I've always said that when you are calling God great, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we speak a lot of big English. You want to worship God, so you say, O thou God that indwelleth the heavens and thy footstool is upon the earth. Now we say things like that and it doesn't make any meaning to us. Say, God that made the 1,100 million galaxies, how great thou art. Meanwhile, you are not aware of the difficulty of making one galaxy. You don't know how difficult it is. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you see a man say, this man that ran 100 meters in 20 seconds. That's because you have never tried to run. Serious people run 100 meters in 10 seconds. You understand what I'm trying to say? But because you have never tried athletics, you don't understand that by saying that a man ran 100 meters in 20 seconds doesn't mean anything. So if you say this man is great, he ran 100 meters in 5 seconds, you don't even understand what you are saying. So if it's somebody that knows your heart, he knows you are not really praising him. I'm coming to a point here. Sometimes when we are worshiping God and we are speaking all kinds of grammar, actually he's not impressed because he knows you don't even know what you are saying. Do you follow me? That when David wanted to describe his God, he said, he's the God that took me out from where I was a small shepherd boy and made me a king. That's very real. To him, that was very real. If somebody who had a terminal sickness, maybe AIDS or cancer, God heals the person. And you say, why are you misbehaving like this? He said, don't talk. It is before the God that took me out from the deathbed and made me healthy. You know, to him, that is more real than say he's the God that made Pluto. That is his personal problem between him and his angels for making Pluto. Because if Pluto was not there, I wouldn't be aware. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? No, really. You know, it is because he told me Pluto is there. Do you follow my point? Anytime I'm preaching like this, I tell people that for me, the greatest thing I say about God is that it's my hope. Now, hope is not a wish. Hope is a firm expectation that is based upon an evidence. I hope you understand my point. That is, I realize that I can never be small in my life. I cannot be an average person. Now, it is not because, you know, if you get to my great-grandfather, he was a big man. Everybody knows his name. That's not the issue. The issue is that I have discovered the word of God. And the assurance I have before God is that I can never be small. You know my favorite scripture, Isaiah 66 verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Now, what I see physically is irrelevant. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's what Paul was telling, what Samuel was telling Saul, that God took you out from being a small person. He said, were you not small in your own eyes? Yet God made you. Do you understand my point? Now, how did I get here? What was I trying to say when I started quoting this? Do you know, I can't remember. Okay, yeah, thank you very much. God bless you. Okay, you're very attentive. All right. Now, so you see, that is the power of grace. That if you see a man who was nothing, and he becomes something, then you know that indeed grace is upon him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, so I was explaining that what actually God wants in our lives is the manifestation of grace. Now, again, I'm about to take another angle, but just stay with me, all right? Try. Let me distinguish between two people, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau is a type, just as Jacob is a type. Esau is a man that has, let me be like this, maybe a first class in one beautiful course, maybe like the one that makes money these days, there are two of them. Either banking and finance or electronic engineering, you know, telecoms and banking. All right. So the man has a first class in banking and finance. And then he has done an MBA. And he was a distinction candidate. And then now he has his ICAN, he has all that. And now on top of that, I forgot to mention that his father is Accenture in Nigeria, that is, you know. And then actually half of First Bank, the shares belong to his father. I forgot to mention that fact, all right? Now, you put all of that together, and I forgot to mention to you also that his father's brother, his uncle, all right, actually, he lives in the U.S., and he runs a company worth over $1 billion. So you tell the man, and he looks and says, look, my life is made. Why? Look at my pedigree. Look at where I started from. He gives that to you. Then look at what he has acquired. Do you follow me? And it tells that there is no how that tomorrow won't be great. So when you tell him about God, he does not understand what God can do for him. Now, I've listened to men talk before. I'm not talking theory. There was a man, at the time he was speaking, he was a preacher. He said that one of the reasons, that his wife was a Christian, but he was a traditionalist, worshipped local gods and all that. He said that he didn't understand what another God could do for him that his own gods had not done for him. That if it's wife and children, he had them. In the 70s, he had over $1 million. That is, by today's standards, will have had about maybe, we're talking about like maybe 500 million naira. That he had money. The guy is an accountant, trained in, I think, in the UK. I mean, the then Oba of Benin was his brother. It was his father's brother. Do you understand my point? So he said he didn't understand what another God could do for him. There's another man. Now, this man was speaking as a preacher. He had discovered what the other God, the real God, could do for him, all right? But there's another young man I met many years ago. We happened to have stopped by in his clinic, a doctor. Now, when I look back at him, I say, this guy is a real small-minded person. He was really small-minded. He had a thriving clinic in a village. Really. Somewhere in Taraba State. And because of his influence around there, they had given him hectares of land. And he had started planting rice. So he was telling his friend, who we stopped by in his place together, also a doctor, that see what he's up to and all that. So the guy said that, man, God has really been doing something for you. And he made a statement, and I felt very bad for him, not for me. He said, I don't believe in God. I only believe in myself. That is, I am planning. Come on, I am taking things. I'm taking charge of things. Now, that is the difference between Esau and Jacob. These two people I have described to you were Esau's. Those were people who did not really feel they needed God. Get my point? They were not angry with him. Do you follow what I'm saying? They just didn't need him. No, imagine that I have a very fine, beautiful car, and you're standing here, and you just want to walk across your Jill online. I said, let me give you a lift. And you feel like, why do I need a lift? Now, I'll walk across to that place in 2 minutes. And that's the kind of people that they were. Except that one thing we don't understand is this. Where God wants us to reach in life is usually beyond Jill online. I mean, it's far beyond there. He probably wants to get to Lagos, and you need a lift. Jill online is just 100 meters down the line. Lagos is about 700 kilometers away. You need a lift. So a lot of people feel they don't need God. They're actually short-sighted. They can't see far. Do you understand my point? And the principle of faith is for you to understand that there is more to life than you have seen. And that where God will take you to, where he plans to take you to actually, is far beyond where you have ever imagined. I hope you're getting my point. Now, Jacob is the man who understands that. Jacob, therefore, when he sees anything that looks like a lift, though he's in a hurry, he waits for it. Do you get me? Now, the man wants to get to Lagos on time. So he wants to get somewhere on time, but he doesn't know how far. But he knows that a man with a car will take me there faster than I can ever run. Esau starts moving, knowing that he has good muscles. Come on, he can do it. But Jacob says, I can't walk. He said, you are lazy, man. I said, I know I'm lazy. Thank you. He waits. He said, the driver of the car has gone to sleep. He said, he will wake up after he has slept. And finally, of course, maybe he's been delayed for a day or two or three, but the driver comes and he enters the car. And Esau has only walked as far as Asaba. What is Benin? Asaba. Then Jacob overtakes him. Do you understand my point? Now, the man who understands the principle of overtake, you understand what I'm saying here? Which is the grace of God, is a Jacob. I told you this is where I live my life. I am eager to please God. Because if God does not bless me, I can never be blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, if I might just quickly tell you how useless wealth is. Paul Getty was at a point in time declared the richest man in the U.S. Yet one of his children said money was a cost to our family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is, a man opened his mouth and said, that money, it was a cost to our family. Now, he may not have known what he was saying, that is, whether it was a cost or not, but the way they related with the money, it became a cost. And then the man had fortune, only one survived. And they died a rubbish death, drug overdose. And he, by the time I saw him, like when he sold the company to, I think, Texaco, he was just coming out of rehabilitation. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right, so you understand the principle here that, see, Jacob doesn't leave anything to chance. He said, there is nothing that God cannot handle. You understand what I'm saying? Now, so I'm just using all of this to explain the power of grace. Grace is that thing that moves you, that takes you beyond you. You understand what I'm saying? That is where you could have imagined. It takes you far beyond that. It's not a matter of, I have schemed. You know, after this, I do that. After that, now, one day I will get here. I always tell people, don't forget, there's what they call natural disasters that prevents a man from getting to where he had planned to get to. But let's even leave that one out. There are times, in fact, this is a fact. The Bible says, what eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. That is, what you have not seen, that you have not heard, can never enter your heart. You cannot conceive things that you have never seen or heard about. So that is what God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen, what you can't see, you have never seen, what you have never heard about, you can never plan for. That's what it means, that it has never entered into the heart of a man. Now, but Jacob understands that I will get there by the grace of God. This thing will be done by God's power working in my life. I'm saying all of this to bring out a point. Now, let me now go back to the beginning where we started from. That God has a plan for this earth. And that plan will prosper by the hands of the children of God. Right? I made that point. But I wanted to now add to it that God is not saying that they should struggle like Esau. Do you follow me? Let me take this, my young lawyers, as an example. You have prayed and you have believed and you have trusted and you are expecting that God will do something great in legal system in Nigeria and maybe indeed in the whole of Africa and the world. So, and you, one day you heard one Pastor Banky preach that it's as children of God like you, people like you, get to the place when you become the CJ of Nigeria, that's when things will change. So you begin to scheme. You start working towards being a CJ. Do you follow me? That is gross error. Believe me what I'm saying. This is what I'm coming to. That we have explained the plan of God. Fine. But how do we get there? That road God doesn't describe to you. He said, this is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that follows me. You know, he told them that I am the light of the world. He that follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What am I saying? Wherever God will take you to in life, the only way to get there is to follow Jesus Christ. He's the only one that knows the way. Philip came to him and said that, how can you say we know where the Father is? He said, show us where the Father is. He said, how do we get there? We don't even know the way. He said, don't worry. I am the way. He didn't say divide me and walk through me. What he was saying, just follow me. Wherever I go is the way. Do you get my point? Now, when Solomon said time and chance happens to men, remember I said at the beginning of our exhortation that when a man has the power of God working on his behalf, we say he's lucky. Do you understand what I'm saying? We say he's lucky. In fact, there is a testimony. I don't know whether I should put it here. No, I'll give us a testimony. I'll give it to us much later. Talk about when you talk about time and chance happening to people. And let me just give it now. It will be appropriate. Very recently, my wanted to give me good news, you know, in quotes, good news. It was a good news I was happy to hear. The moment he called my phone, I thought he wanted to ask me to do something that is wrong, something I didn't want to do, I didn't want to be bothered to do. All right? I won't give all the details. So when I saw his name on the phone, I refused to answer it. You understand? It rang, it stopped ringing. Then he called back again. It rang and rang and stopped ringing. I left the phone. So I now picked my phone and started typing the text to some people. Then I don't know how I shifted the battery of the phone. The phone just went off in an instant and came back on. You know what? Just a small shift and came back on immediately. Now, at that point in time, his call came through again. But the phone had not yet finished reading the directory of names. So I didn't know who it was and I answered it. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to say? It turned out that what I thought he was calling me about was not in his mind. That, in fact, I was the one that went and even prompted him to speak about it as I went and said something. He just said, I have been trying to call you. Where did you keep your phone? I couldn't tell you, so I didn't want to talk to you. He said, actually, this is this. And he gave me news that I wanted to hear. Do you understand the point I'm making? Now, that's why, because time and chance. I've always told people that I don't believe in this statement that opportunity comes by but once. It's not true. It is the gospel of a man who is not blessed. The man who is blessed, what happens once, if you miss it, will come back again. Because your blessings have your name on it. They can't go anywhere else. No, look, I'm married, all right? My wife has my name on her, you know what I'm saying? So let us assume now that I travel to maybe Lagos. And then she couldn't come. I said, okay, meet me at Lagos Sheraton. And then she gets to one room there and knocks on the door. And one fat yellow man opens the door and says, does it mean she has now become his own? No, she would just say, please, I'm very sorry. And go back to reception. I told you that my husband is here. Why? Because my blessing has my name on it. I hope you are getting the principle of what I'm saying. That is, your blessing has a name on it. Let nobody tell you opportunity comes but once. It doesn't come but once to the man who is blessed. If he comes and you are not at home, you know what I always say like this? My blessings are homing missiles. For those of you who know warfare, you know what they call homing missiles? missiles that are locked onto you and will not leave you alone until they get you. I hope you are getting the principle of what I'm trying to say. That is the way life is. The man who is blessed, that's how it works with him. Now, let me get back to my main message. I'm really trying to wrap up and say exactly what I want to say. So I'm explaining all of these things that where God wants to take you to, you cannot plan it. Yet, the purpose of God will prosper by your hand. However, God has one assignment for everybody. And that's actually the message we have today. Last week, I explained that what God is saying is this. Once my kingdom is birthed in you, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing. We talked about Jesus being the way. Once you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he will take you to where he wants to take you. He said, let me get back to my lawyer's example. So, remember the man I gave as an example during my exhortation? I said that, he said, I let destiny, that is life, bring things upon me. And then when the opportunity comes, I serve. Are you getting me? Now, if the kingdom of God is in you, what it does is that it radiates blessings out from inside you so that you attract the right things and repel the wrong things. Do you follow me? Remember we said in previous times that, for example, compassion moved Jesus Christ. That is, compassion is a feeling. Don't let's spiritualize this. It's nothing spiritual. It's just that he saw somebody and he felt sorry. That means it's a feeling. Therefore, desire can move somebody. You can be sitting in your house and it is time for you to meet somebody who God will use to carry you to blessing. Suddenly you want to eat corn. You were sitting at home. In fact, you have eaten. They gave you fried rice with plantain and salad and all kind of thing. They are a chicken. They have finished you, in fact, with food. Then suddenly, desire for corn moves you. And your wife cannot understand what has gone wrong with the man I just fed. Because I just don't understand. I feel like eating corn. He said, okay, see corn here. Then I said, no, that woman's corn is not sweet. I like that one down the road. And we were looking like, what has God come over this fellow? Actually, it is time for blessing. And that blessing was converted to desire in your heart. God used it to move you to where you meet the right person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, so you see, you can never plan life. No, you can't. What you know is that God wants to take you somewhere. And then you do one thing. Follow God himself. Jesus said to Peter, follow me and I will make you. That is, you were nothing. I will make you. Just follow me. I will create something in you that you were not before. Are you following the point I'm making? So we explain all of this, that is that birthing of the kingdom in each person that actually causes the kingdom around to respond to him. That is, the kingdoms of men to respond to him. Remember we said that the Bible says his kingdom rules over all. Listen, if you find the... I want to use an expression. The presence of the devil, no, devil is we use darkness to typify the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is darkness. And then Jesus is what? Light. Now, you know that darkness doesn't have any definition apart from absence of light. That if you say this place is dark, what it just means is that light is not there. That is, the encroachment of the devil into any believer's life is as much as Jesus is absent from his life. Simple. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That was why he said, the prince of this age is coming, but he has nothing in me. That the only reason why he will lay a hand on me this time is because I am obedient unto death. He said, because I love the Father, I'm obeying what the Father said I should do. I hope you are getting all this I'm saying. Therefore, if you find that as a believer, you are not growing forward in life, you don't need 10 steps on how to go forward. You understand what I'm saying? You know I keep on saying this thing. You don't need it. Just like we said last time, and we are saying again today, a man who met the person who God used to send him into breakthrough, where he was buying corn being roasted by the way. Are you following me? That man cannot write a book on get a desire to eat corn as a step towards breakthrough. You can never write a book like that. That's why Solomon said time and chance, that is the one that will happen to another man, cannot be predicted from what happened to the last person. Otherwise, it can no longer be called chance. Once you can plan it, it's no longer chance. I hope you are getting the point I'm making all of these things. That is, once the kingdom of God is birthed in you, listen to me, every other thing will respond. I've said it before, Christians pray too many unnecessary prayers. All night prayer for breakthrough. I want a wife, a husband, a child, a car, and all that is unnecessary. So David and Joseph, our good example, didn't have the opportunity to pray for a wife. The wife was part of the assignment. Listen, anytime God assigns you to do something in life, he sends the necessary provisions. He always does it. So when a man is not receiving his provision, he's not in the place of his assignment. Simple. You are getting my point, all of these things. Now, so I'm trying to get down to one thing. That is the fact that God's assignment for everybody in life, that is God's, the duty he has given to each person is to have the kingdom of God birthed in him. I'm virtually repeating last week's message. Well, maybe with new light. So if God is in you, you understand what I mean? That is the kingdom of God. Remember we emphasized that last time, that the kingdom of God is first described in a person. Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons from amongst you, then the kingdom of God has come in down in your midst. That is, I, me speaking, I am the kingdom of God. So Satan responds. What am I saying? Every believer has an assignment to have that kingdom birthed in him. That's what we explained last night. I'm sure I went over all of this because my spirit just couldn't get away from it because of all those of us who were not here before. And it's important that we use that to connect. Now, I think I've finally been able to connect to where I was trying to connect to. Amen. Now, so today's message actually was supposed to be on how exactly, therefore, how exactly do I get the kingdom of God birthed in me? Because Jesus made a point. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, let's just go there. Matthew chapter 6. Just to broadcast the points I made, he said, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Now, maybe I should start from verse 30. He said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? This is where I want you to understand. You of little faith. He said, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, open to the book of Hebrews. Let's read this and... Now, Paul was explaining some things here. He said, from verse 16. For who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. If we read the next chapter, verse 1. Okay, I was reading without telling you. Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely sorry. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, so where I just read is from verse 16. Yes. Now I'm in chapter 4. It said, therefore, let us fear. If, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of us may seem to have come short of it. Where I want to emphasize is this. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have heard entered that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although it works with me from the foundation of the world. It now said, please, I'm trying to get a particular verse here. Verse 6. He said, therefore, since it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly heard good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. I will jump a few verses. Verse 10 now. Yeah, I'm where I want to get to. He said, for the one who has entered his rest. Thank you very much. This is where I want. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent. If you have a King James, I like that word. It said, let us labor to enter that rest. so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Please follow me very closely here. He said, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now, what I want you to understand here is this. He said that there is a place called the rest of God. Actually, we don't have to go by it again. That's what I've explained all this while. That there is a place you get to that the kingdom causes you to float above all else. He said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, which is what? Our faith. And remember here, he's saying faith also is the way by which somebody steps into the rest. What he's saying in effect is this. Anyone who has entered into rest has overcome the world. Now, let me explain something again. This is a principle. I mean, this is just a fact. Christianity is not about speaking strange language. Let me understand what I'm saying. If you say a man is blessed, it's tangible. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we have gotten used to speaking strange language in that a man is sick, he's poor, he's not good anywhere in life, he says, I'm blessed. Now, if he's saying it because of faith and hope, that is, I have faith and he has produced for me an expectation, that is acceptable. But if he says that in this world, there's nothing good, but when I get to heaven, I will be blessed, then he has missed the meaning of the word blessing. Do you get my point? You know, there was something I said when I was preaching in church last Sunday, and I think I should say it again. That God does not like working miracles. We are the one that thinks he does. I'm happy you are surprised. No, he doesn't like working miracles. We are the ones that think he likes working miracles. Miracles are ad hoc measures. They are crisis point solutions that arise. You understand my point? Let me ask you a question. Do you like digging your child out of a well? No, answer me. You have a son. Nice young man. At 6 years of age, he jumps into a well. So you have to go and get Panopano to pull him out. Panopano is Yoruba word for fire brigade. You have to go and get the fire service to pull him out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, do you like that? If you, ordinary man, understand that, how much more God? But if your son is in a well, you will pull him out. But you don't like pulling sons out of wells. Get what I'm saying? Christianity has real meaning. God didn't create children that live by miracles. Praise the Lord. The landlord was about to throw me out. The last moment, the money just arrived. It's good. Nothing wrong with it. But you know the one that God prefers? You will write the landlord check ahead of time that my rent will end in 6 months, but I will be out of the country at that time. So please, here is the check. I have put a date for 5 months' time. A month to the end, draw your money. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or you go and build a very big house and not need the landlord. You understand what I'm trying to say? Those are better testimonies than brethren, praise the Lord. Oh. Hey. God will never allow you to see shame. Amen, amen. Amen. Now, those are good testimonies, but they are what I call wilderness experiences. What do I mean by wilderness experience? When you are in the wilderness, manna will rain from heaven. When you enter the promised land, you will plant. The seed time and harvest will not cease. There is he that does not watch the wind, therefore he sows, and he doesn't observe the cloud, therefore he reaps. That is, he must sow and he must reap. But God will cause what he has sown to prosper. That is what God wants. I'm explaining something in all of this. I just wanted to take a side trip there. When we are talking about Christianity, that's what I'm trying to say. They have real meanings. God doesn't create us to be queer. You understand what I mean? We are people of superior mentality, of superior ability. That is, when you go to class where everybody understands ABC, you have already understood as far as G. It's not that you pass exam by miracle. No, you understand. You are somebody of understanding. You have more understanding than your teachers because the Spirit of God is inside you. That there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty does not give him miracles. It gives him understanding. I've said that to bring out the point. That when we said that he that has believed has entered into rest. That's my message back there. It's not rest in his mind. People around will understand that this guy has rest. We don't have it. Like Delta Man will say, the man not get stressed. You never hear pigeon reach that level. He said, man, this guy not get stressed. That is, nothing worries him. It will be palpably obvious. And when he said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, it means that if he's a contractor, he outbid Julius Berger by faith. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Overcoming the world...